This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley. This program is generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim with this show is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, and my guest today is Keith Lampman Perlman, which is just the most fun name to say. You are the executive director of the Historic Easton Cemetery.
That's Welcome. Right. Thank you for having me.
So now don't turn the dial. Don't stop listening. It's not going to be a morbid show just because we're talking about a cemetery.
Quite the contrary.
Yes. We're talking about cemeteries as public spaces. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many people think of cemeteries as these quiet, private places where you're reflecting, you're mourning. But historically, they've also been public gathering spaces. Tell us more about that.
Well, absolutely. Firstly, let me just say thank you for having me on. And I'm very happy to be here. We're getting the word out about the cemetery.
Yeah.
And you're a big part of that, and I appreciate it. Cemeteries were actually founded in the 19th century as public spaces, public gathering spaces. As you can imagine, the cemeteries went from church-based, mm-hmm. so when the size of these spaces ran out, they created park-like grounds, and that's in all of our literature, that the Historic Easton Cemetery, which happens to be 85 acres, was created. Again, 1849, and it was founded by Trail Green.
Trail Green.
Yes.
Is that a person's name?
It is.
His name was Trail.
Trail Green. And he was an underachiever. He was a medical doctor, a Lafayette professor, founded the Easton Cemetery, researcher, all kinds of things. He has a CV that would be,
pages
amazing.
Long.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. Okay, so cemeteries then, he founded this particular cemetery, mm-hmm. but how did cemeteries sort of evolve into this walking reflection and even social connection space?
Well, years ago, again, it's 100 plus years ago, they were founded in order to have spaces where people could go to a park-like setting, and they'd come in horse and carriage back then with picnic baskets and blankets, and they would come to the cemetery and spend time, the children maybe, running about. But again, it was teaching a bit of reverence and respect, which I'm always balancing reverence and respect with ability to have people of all ages and all types just welcomed to the cemetery to utilize it as it was built.
Yeah, it's taking away some of the stigma and I don't want to say negativity, but morbidness around death.
Well, I do, since we're having a conversation about it, I do want to say that there's a part of the cemetery which is what I call the active part. In other words, it's the operating part of the cemetery where we're most of our grave sites are still available. There's 1,000 grave sites available, which a lot of people don't know that the Historic Easton Cemetery is an active burial site. So people can still come in and purchase, like I said, 1,000 sites. We also have niches where people can have their ashes, cremated ashes, obviously, put into a private niche with their name on it to commemorate them and their lives. And we also bury ashes. A lot of times what's happening now because of the traditionals or the traditions that have changed, people are sometimes cremated and interred with someone who was a traditional burial years ago. So you can imagine that because, children, people our age are more often than not opting for cremations. And if they are interred with a loved one, say a parent, they're cremated ashes are put perhaps on top or beside their their parents or grandparents.
Interesting. Okay.
It is. It's a very interesting.
Yeah. Bet you never thought this
field.
Was going to be your.
No, I did.
Your path in life. For those who haven't visited, how would you describe the experience of walking through? I mean, it's 85 acres, so you're not walking through 85 acres in one trip. But talk to us about what that experience is like.
Well, I think every time that I walk through the cemetery, it's different.
Mm.
You experience something different. I was very happy to have you come on a tour of the mm-hmm. cemetery. And of course, it was freezing. So
yeah,
we did it by car, which that is a whole nother experience also. And I encourage people to do that as well.
Mm.
Because as you walk through the cemetery, you know, getting exercise or jogging or running, we have all kinds of people coming to our cemetery every day and all winter long. We're one of the few cemeteries that is open year round, you know, weather permitting. And when we say weather permitting, we mean, you know, if there's 3 inches of ice, which there were a couple times this year, we had to keep the gates closed just to protect people. They could still come in by foot if they chose to. And we'd have people running, jogging,
really?
You know, around the ice patches. So that's amazing to me.
But
of course,
runners.
they're
a different breed.
they are. They're committed to health and wellness, and that's one of the things that we encourage when people think about the cemetery. We're adjacent to the Carl Stirner Arts Trail.
Mm.
So people can walk the Carl Stirner Arts Trail, KSAT I call it now, and someone had to teach me that. I didn't know what they were talking about
acronym.
When they kept saying KSAT. You know, there's an acronym for everything nowadays.
Yeah.
But you can walk from the KSAT, which is... obviously contemporary art, and then come through the gates, which will be open soon, and under the tunnel, or there's two ways to get there from the Carl Stirner Arts Trail, and come on up and see the Victorian art and funerary pieces that are so exciting to see and so interesting and intricate. And, you know, it was a different time, you know, 1849, when people were creating monuments to either their loved ones, or sometimes they created it for themselves and before they passed away. And there are family plots that are very old, and it's interesting. But
yeah. So was there a time when the cemetery, as far as, you know, new graves kind of petered out?
Well,
because it is, there's a lot of older graves there.
Well, that leads me straight into this, Margaret, as you know, part of your tour. There are 42,000 people interred at the historic Easton Cemetery.
Wow.
So that gives you some perspective, gives the listeners certainly some perspective if they have not been there, about the scope and breadth of the 85 acres and what it really means to go there. And like I said, there is a difference between the active burial sites, for the most part. There are still people that are interred in the older family plots, but those are more rare. So if you stay up in certain sections, you're able to walk about miles of pathways and roadways. We have 1.9 pretty much paved roadways and about 9 miles of walkways and old carriage paths, and that includes the paved parts as well. So it's amazing to me.
Okay, so there's trails that are paved and that are not paved.
Yes.
Okay, so the paved obviously would be accessible to those who need a wheelchair or some other assistance, right?
Well, I'm not certain if I would have it scoped out by whomever's going to be utilizing it first. Whatever their needs are, we're happy to go out, and I would go out with them myself, and we have some staff that work there to maintain the grounds. In the office, it's only myself and a very part-time office manager.
Mm.
So that's very interesting and different for me, just as a personal aside.
Yeah.
But we have a grounds crew that go part-time in the winter for obvious reasons. Typically, it's plowing and shoveling and maintaining the pathways, or the roadways, I should say. And obviously, trees go down. Mm. We have one down today. So, you know, every day, yes.
Oh.
It's amazing how some of the trees are very old. We have over 1,000 different types of trees, I'm told. We have an arborist committee.
Oh, wow.
So it's just amazing.
Really?
So when people are doing the healthy walking about and running, jogging, whatever they're doing, pushing their children in strollers. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we're accessible enough for that for the most part. I worry about saying that we're accessible in the sense that the Americans with Disabilities Act or ADA requirements might include. That may not always be the case on each of our paths, but most of them, most of the people that are in wheelchairs can be pushed around or drive their wheelchair around and be safe.
Okay. And you mentioned the trees.
Yes.
Now, are there markings on the trees that say what kind of tree it is?
Well, a couple.
Or is that a plan for the future?
It's a plan for the future, but it's in motion.
Okay.
I went to my first... This is another thing I never thought I'd say. I went to my first arborist committee meeting, and it was actually quite exciting and interesting just to do this. There are many committed people throughout the Lehigh Valley who are interested in the trees, and there's a whole nother subset with regard to microforests and creating that type of thing, and sustainability is a big issue.
Yep.
But we have a lot of people that are interested in the different types of trees and the quality of trees. Some need, you know, to be pruned in a great way. You can imagine the cost of all that. And that's where I come in for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also all kinds of horticulture. There's also, I've been to the Grave Gardeners Committee, which is fun also because we have people that come in and they volunteer to take care of specific graves and create, I like to think of it as creating color and a vibrant landscape with the graves, most of them very old.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were built to have flower beds in front of them.
Mm.
And they're incredible. You saw some of them on the tour. And you can just imagine it. Right now, I tell people the cemetery is basically black and white.
Mm.
It's a black and white photo or an image in your mind.
Mm.
And I can't wait for, you know, the grass to turn green. The buds are just starting to come out on a lot of the trees and some of the sugar maples and things like that.
It must be very nice to be in that kind of environment all day and just surrounded by nature.
Oh, it's great.
Are there a lot of wildlife and birds? Do you have people coming through bird watching or anything like that?
There's all kinds of birds, and we do have bird watching.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. I have to admit that's kind of my thing. I don't go out and bird watch yet, but I have a lot of bird feeders at home, and I like to watch the birds.
I love that.
In my yard.
I love watching the birds go. I'm a squirrel person too, so you knew you'd get me there.
No.
I love big fat squirrels with the big bushy tails, and there's a lot of them around also.
Really?
But there are lots of birds, and there are people that do bird watching. We had a bird cam a year or two ago that received a huge amount of looks or likes on social media.
Uh-huh.
So it's incredible how many people do love the birds. And the 85 acres creates that.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of deer.
Okay.
So you can imagine we have to watch that everything that we plant or the grave gardening committees, they're always cognizant of a couple of things. One are plants that are indigenous, to our
native
to our area. And also, deer resistant because
those little
it's
buggers.
A thing. Those little boggers are all
hungry.
They're hungry.
So that's so cool. So do you see the deer every day when you're there?
Most days I've seen deer, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
And they're in different sections, and they they'll run when you drive by, or they'll look up for sure.
Yeah.
When you're walking, they look up, or they run away sometimes. And I walk with a little dog. I take my dog to work. She's only a 10-pound little thing, but she has a big attitude, and so she probably scares away the deer just by being out there. But I will tell you, every time that I walk the grounds, I see something different.
Mm.
I recognize something different. I often take photographs of different things, but just with my iPhone.
Yeah.
But the quality of those are incredible.
Yeah.
So I love it.
And let's talk about some of the other things you can see in the cemetery. The Grace Gate. That's at the entrance?
That's an older entrance, yes. We have the Grace Gate. We have what I call the iconic 7th Street gates. And those are what everybody really if you've been to the historic Eastern Cemetery, which is 401 North 7th Street in Easton, I call it the beginning of 7th Street. I'm not certain if it's the beginning or the end, but it's where my office is. There's also a large stone building that I just think is magnificent.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And my office looks out towards the back, so I look out. I have a view of both the Trail Green statue and the chapel, which is beautiful.
The chapel is just
a beautiful old chapel with stained glass and...
It's beautiful inside.
Isn't that great?
It just has the grate in the floor for the heat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That's the only heating. There's no ductwork.
No.
And that space is available for use?
Yes.
Okay.
We do allow people to utilize that space, and that will be open during the 5K that's coming up on May the 3rd. That's a run and a fun walk, and it includes people that are serious runners, and it also includes activities for children. And you can run, you can jog, you can walk, you can try and race.
Mm.
And it's this year it's USATF certified, which, as much as I know about running, that's about it. But everyone's excited that it's USATF certified. So those that are trying to qualify for things like the Boston Marathon. And the New York City Marathon and the big famous things, they can run here and have a time that is official enough for the USATF guidelines.
Okay.
And they can therefore then use this as a qualifying event.
Okay. And this is called the Green Trail. Is it T-R-A-I-L-L?
It is.
So that's the last name of the founder of the cemetery. Is that what that is? Okay.
Now,
because I kept auto-correcting it when I was typing it. I thought, well, why does it keep putting the L there? Like, it's, anyway.
And don't let it confuse you as it did me. I'll give you a little warning. So the race is called the Green Trail, G being a lowercase g.
Oh.
Green for the greenery that you're going to run through or walk through. Or with the youngsters, they can walk, and we have special prizes for them. Even Crayola has given us a product for the youngsters this year, so that's exciting.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people that support the Green Trail 5K. I have to watch myself also because his name is Trail Green.
Yes.
But our race is called the Green Trail.
Okay.
And I just think that's fun.
Yeah. And how many years has this 5K been happening?
This is the fifth year. So it's an exciting anniversary year.
Okay, and you said you can walk. There's a 2-mile walk, right? As part of it, and then there's the Kids Fun Run and the Timed 5K Run.
Yes.
Okay, and what day is this happening?
That's May the 3rd.
Yes, Sunday, May 3rd, and it starts at 9 a.m.?
It does. So
at the cemetery.
We can arrive between 8 and 8:30. You're welcome to bring dogs. One of the things that sets the Historic Eastern Cemetery apart from other cemeteries, not that it's a competition at all, but is that the fact that we allow dogs to be walked there, and people do. They come year-round to walk their dogs there. As long as they're on a leash, they are welcome to come, and they obviously have to pick up after their dogs, but they come there. And again, that's a whole nother thing where we get into the reverence and respect. So a dog walking in the vast majority of our cemetery, no issues at all. And they just steer a bit clear of what I call the active cemetery, where we're burying people still and selling plots, perhaps. There's just a difference between walking your dog.
Yeah.
It just is between, 150-year-old graves and someone that, if your parent or grandparent was just buried, recently, you wouldn't want to necessarily see dogs there. I wouldn't care, and my mom wouldn't care. She'd love it if, a dog came.
People were coming to visit her.
Yeah.
So,
dog.
Staying on the topic of the 5K, since this is coming up and we want people to go because it's a fundraiser, correct? For supporting the preservation of the cemetery. So tell us about, what your role is in this work.
Well, my role here, I was hired by the board of directors of the Historic Eastern Cemetery firstly, we're going to stabilize finances, and I will tell you that it costs about $250,000 a year simply to, you can imagine,
all the grounds,
mowing and taking care of the grounds and the weed whacking and all those things. around each stone.
Wow.
And then it's not like ripping back and forth, you know, in a large field.
Right.
Also in the winter, we plow and those kinds of things and have the graves dug. But our team of four in the winter and six to eight in the summer, they go part-time in the winter and full-time in the summer. They can't. We don't have enough time in the summer, and that's coming up. So
wow.
It's a spring awakening, I call it. You know, when everything comes to life, when the grass starts to grow, they'll come back.
Okay. And so anything that you're raising at the 5K is to support their paying for the maintenance of the cemetery.
Right. Well, and the other thing is I want to do a shout out to the Friends of the Historic Easton Cemetery. That's a separate 501c3 called the Friends of the Historic Easton Cemetery. We work closely, obviously we work with them. We have the same mission. They support the mission of the Easton Cemetery and raise funds for it. And they produce the 5K and have made it this quality event, now USATF certified and things like that. So they do that, and they do tours. We do a tour. So they do a lot of programming for us also.
Okay.
And what that does is creates awareness. And this is interesting for people, and I hope I share this on our tour. But each fourth grade student throughout the Easton Area School District right now comes to the Historic Easton Cemetery for a tour. And we have lots of docents, but I mean, there are several that do tours for these fourth graders. So every fourth grader comes through and they learn the history of, there are a lot of notable figures interred at the Historic Easton Cemetery, including a signer of the Declaration of Independence, George Taylor. So particularly as we're coming up on the 250th anniversary of the United States, it's interesting
to say that
we have that. That's right in front of the chapel. And I always invite people to come. You know, they're certainly welcome to be in touch with me, and I'm happy to give them a tour as I did you.
Yeah.
And thanks again for coming. And, you know, it can be a quick tour, and nobody has come on a tour and not left in a sort of awe by the sheer scope and breadth, magnitude of, you know, what 85 acres looks like.
Yeah.
And not to mention the notable figures, we call them, or famous people that are interred there. So that's what the tours are.
Yeah, and it's very hilly there. So it certainly is challenging if you were running or walking that. Now, does the 5K route take through any particular area of notable figures, and does it connect to the Carl Stirner Arts Trail at all?
It doesn't go down to the Carl Stirner Arts Trail, but anyone that wants to see the exact path of the 5K, just go on our website. Our website is thehistoriceastoncemetery.org, and they can click on events, and they'll find out all of the information with regard to where the actual path is. It's under events.
Okay. And now you mentioned also the guided walks and tours that are done. Are there any kind of special, beyond the fourth grade students, any other groups that they particularly like to bring through?
Well, anybody that cares to have a group, we've had different organizations and associations that will do a docent-led tour throughout this cemetery all summer long, and sometimes even in the winter. But it's harder than winter just because
it's cold.
The logistics, and nobody wants to come out when it's that cold. But we'd love to do tours for anybody that wants to come on a tour. And again, those are people that know far more than I do already, because I haven't been there long enough, but about each of the notable figures.
Yeah. And they're volunteers that lead this.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, there's only the people that I call them the guys, because there just happen to be no women right now. But all the guys that do all the work right now with the landscaping and the plowing and all those kinds of things to keep the cemetery the way that it is. And then there's just myself and a very part-time office manager, Susan, who, you know, helps sell the grave sites and, you know, take calls. And it's really an amazing process.
Yeah. So tell us about the future, of what you envision in the future and what you see as this community space. How does it serving the community in the future?
Well, thanks for asking that. I see it as having more and more people become aware of the historic Easton Cemetery as a place for exercise, for walking their dog or bringing their entire family along and walking the different, the old carriage paths and envisioning themselves, you know, back in 1849 or even 1900, walking through the different stones and beautiful artistry that was created in the 19th century, some in the 20th century, obviously. And even now, you know, we've got someone interested in looking at, you know, a very intricate display. So that, that will be interesting if that comes to fruition.
Okay.
We're looking forward to that. But getting people to come and be healthy, walk, utilizing this Easton's largest open space, utilizing it for exercise and healthy living, and walking about and enjoying the history along the way. As you saw on the tour, we have the QR codes. Right now we have 20 of them. We have 20 more to go. When you use your phone and click on the QR code at the respective graves, it will give you a photo of the person interred there and the history.
Basically,
a brief, not so brief, but a, you know, all-encompassing CV of each of those people.
Okay.
And it's amazing for people to see it and to see the quality of, you know, that which the, that, that was produced by the Friends of the Historic Easton Cemetery.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, the big shout out to the Friends of the Historic Easton Cemetery, and its president is Amy Wolf, so we're excited to have, I work with her closely, and they also are maintaining our website, and, you know, it's just great. We all work hand in hand on.
Yeah. And that's wonderful that you have the QR codes, and so it's a learning experience as much as it is a, you know, healthy experience, and probably really helps the children stay, you know, kind of focused. And,
Well, and they can, the children can run around, you know, let out all the steam, and then come and focus on, you know, Mrs. Wolf. Kay Wolf will come and do a lot of our historical tours, and has such a depth of knowledge that is unbelievable, because she's taken such an interest in the cemetery. And there are many, 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 we even have a brochure on the Lafayette notable figures that are interred there, and then a whole bunch of other people,
so
like
people,
George
when
Taylor.
So people, when they come, that you want them to stop in the office and pick up this material, it's actually hanging outside of the office, right? Okay, so they can come, get the guidebook, and then
go for a walk. The cemetery is open year round, weather permitting, obviously. And it's, when I say weather permitting, it's only in the winter that we worry about that for the most part. But 8 a.m. until dusk each night.
And the address, one more time, is
401 North 7th Street, Easton, Pennsylvania, 18042.
All right. So now you have another reason to go check out beautiful city of Easton and plan a day around visiting the cemetery and then going down to one of the lovely restaurants that they have. So many great places to eat. Go visit the Easton Market. But it really is a wonderful place to go spend the day. I want to thank again my guest, Keith Lampman-Perlman from the historic Easton Cemetery. You've been listening to Active Lehigh Valley, which is generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network on WDIY 88.1 FM. I'm your host, Margaret McConnell. If you want to listen again, you can go to our website at wdiy.org or our free app or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.